from Yud Beis Amud Aleph, six lines before the wide lines. So the Gemara is now going to continue the discussion we were having yesterday regarding margins of error when it comes to Eidos, when it comes to Chametz. So the Gemara says, Tanan, Hayu bodkin oso b'sheva chakiros, be'ezo shavua, be'ezo shana, be'ezo chodesh, be'chama b'chodesh, be'ezo yom, be'ezo shah, be'ezo makum. So first of all, the Gemara just starts out by quoting a very well-known Mishnah in Sanhedrin, which just lays out very basic details when it comes to Eidos. And again, we mentioned this yesterday, that whenever you have witnesses who come into court to testify about anything, it could be about a murder case, it could be about a monetary case, so we have to question the Eidim. So one type of questioning is what we call chakiros. Again, we'll see exactly in a second what the difference between the different types of investigations are, but chakiros, or you know, we'll call them investigations for lack of a better term, are like the critical fundamental questions that need to be answered. In other words, you have to come up with answers, and the answers have to obviously match between the Eidim. So for example, the questions they would ask are, which Shemitah cycle was it? Which year did the event happen? What month? What date in the month? What day of the week? What hour? What place? Those kinds of questions must be answered, correctly. Then the Gemara explains to Sinan, Ma bin chakiros lebedikos, chakiros amar echad man eini yodea edusan betela, bedikos afilu shneham omrim einanu yodem, edusan kayemes, vahavinam ba maishna chakiros umaishna bedikos, vahamrinan chakiros amar echad man eini yodea edusan betela, dahavila edus sheiata yochola hazima, bedikos edus sheata yochola hazimahi, vi amar toy inish kule hai, chakiros de ezosha nami edushiata yochola hazimahi, damre mite katainan. So the Gemara has the following question. So, in other words, in order to appreciate this question, we have to understand what the distinction between chakiros and bedikos are. So, again, in English, you could just say, one's investigations and one are examinations. But the real difference between the two is that, as we said before, chakiros are fundamental questions that are really intrinsic to the case. Where did the murder happen? What time of day? What was the, what year, what month, etc. Bedikos are questions that are not quite as significant, like what color shirt was the person wearing? Those types of questions are not quite as significant. Now, the Gemara makes the following distinction. If, let's say, one of the two witnesses, or both of the witnesses for that matter, let's say they're asked, where did the murder happen, or what time of day did the murder happen, and they say, I don't know, then the whole case has to be thrown out of court. Why? So the Gemara says, because that's what we call Eidos She'iata Yochol HaHazima. This is a famous idea that appears in the beginning of Maseches Makos, where the Gemara says that in order for testimony to be valid, that testimony needs to theoretically be subjected to the possibility of hazama, to the idea that the Edom could theoretically become Edom Zomim. Now, we know, of course, that the whole idea of Edom Zomim is that if two other witnesses come to court and say, there's no way you could have witnessed this murder because you were with us somewhere else when you claimed the murder happened, so let's say we ask the original set of witnesses, what time did the murder happen? And they say, I have no idea. So then that Edos, by definition, is never going to be subject to hazama, because even if the second witnesses come and say, you were with us, they could say, yeah, but I don't remember what time the murder happened. So in other words, those questions, if one of the witnesses or both of the witnesses say to the chakiros, I don't know, so that Eidos is null and void. Eidos is thrown out of Beis Din. However, if let's say to one of the bedikos, let's say the question was, what color shirt was the murder victim wearing? And they say, I don't know, so that question is not going to undermine the Eidos. Now, it is important to point out, just parenthetically, it's not really relevant to our Gemara, but it is important anyway to point out that if the witnesses contradict each other, even about the bedikos, that will throw the case out. So let's say, for example, one witness said he was wearing a red shirt and the other one said he was wearing a blue shirt, that would disqualify the case. But if they respond, I don't know what color shirt he was wearing, that's okay. Then the Eidos is still going to stand. But what's the point of all this? Why are we quoting this? So the Gemara says, because as we spoke a lot about yesterday, this issue when it comes to margins of error, when it comes to, how off are the witnesses? So the problem is that if you're going to tell me that chakiros are fundamental to a testimony, that if you say, I don't know to one of the chakiros, the whole case is thrown out, well, didn't we establish already yesterday that there could be some sort of a discrepancy? So let's say, for example, we ask the witnesses, what time of day, what hour was it? And one guy says it happened, the murder happened at 2 in the afternoon, one guy says it happened at 3 in the afternoon. So we said yesterday that's a legitimate discrepancy. And yet the Gemara says that's one of the chakiros. So how could it possibly be that the Edom are gonna turn around and say, again, we said before, if one of the Edom say, I don't know what time the murder happened, so you say, oh, that disqualifies it, but why is that so? We just said that if the Edom basically contradict each other, but it's within an acceptable margin of error, then we're going to accept their testimony. That would seem to fly in the face of everything that we're saying. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara explains.
I just missed one thing you said. Did you say that if they contradict irrelevant information like the color of the shirt, that's a hazamable offense?
So it's not hazama, that's actually what we call hakhasha. That's contradictory edus, where the edus gets thrown out of court. But that's, again, that's kind of a separate issue. That's not really relevant to our Gemara. It's a separate point, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, the yohavina luhu kuleto sayu, le Rabbi Meir yohavina luhu mitchilas sha'ar rishona ad sov chamesh, uvedin hu dinesev luhu meikar etfei ela ben yamama lelel yoloto inche, ule Rabbi Yehuda yohavina luhu mitchilas sha'ar rishona v'yatsov shishes, uvedin hu dinesev luhu meikar etfei ela ben yamama lelel yoloto inche, uvedin hu dinesev lakam etfei ela shebehei chama b'mizrach uvizayin chama b'mar. So the Gemara kind of puts together a lot of the ideas that we spoke about yesterday, where the Gemara says, you're right, that the case in which we're dealing here with is where the contradiction of in terms of the hour or of the day when the murder or when the event happened. In other words, the Gemara says that if the discrepancy is off by more than the acceptable margin of error, then in fact the edus will be disqualified. But the Gemara, in other words, the Gemara basically concedes the point. It says if the margin of error is within the acceptable time frame, again, whichever shita you think that is, as we spoke about yesterday, so then the Gemara says, then in a chanami, the edus is in fact going to be valid. And the Gemara actually fleshes this out. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Meir, as we spoke about yesterday, so the Gemara says that we, in other words, the real discrepancy that we allow is if, let's say, for example, one witness said the murder took place at the end of the first, let's say the murder took place at 7 in the morning, and the other guy says it happened at 11 in the morning. So according to Rabbi Meir, you have this discrepancy, in other words, until from the end of the first hour to the beginning of the fifth hour, because we said yesterday that according to one version of Rabbi Meir, we allow a discrepancy of just under 3 hours. So the Gemara says, really, that's legitimate. And in fact, the Gemara says we would have even allowed more of a discrepancy. The only thing is that when the discrepancy is between, let's say, the night and the following and the morning, that's not an acceptable discrepancy. So for example, if let's say sunrise, let's say this morning was at 7:03, right? So if let's say one witness said the murder happened at 6:50, the other one said it happened at 7:10, so that's not acceptable because they're contradicting each other between day and night. So at that point, the Gemara says, even though it's only a 20-minute discrepancy, but since it's a difference of night and day, that's a very obvious distinction that we would assume is problematic. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Huda, the Gemara says, so we give an even more significant discrepancy from the beginning of the first hour until the end of the sixth hour. And really, again, we should have allowed more of a discrepancy. But again, as we pointed out yesterday, that we assume that people do not confuse the fifth and the seventh hour, because as we mentioned yesterday, in the fifth hour, the sun is in the east, and the seventh hour, it's already in the west. So at that stage, the Gemara says you cannot really confuse the two. And if the witnesses do, the assumption is that they're lying. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to tie this all back in to the topic of chametz, which is, again, why we brought this up in the first place. The Gemara explains, Tanan, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochlin kol hei v'sorfin b'tchilas vav, Rabbi Huda Omer, Ochlin kol dalid v'solin kol hei v'sorfin b'tchilas vav. So first of all, the Gemara just quotes again the mission that we spoke about yesterday, which is that according to Rabbi Meir, so he says you're allowed to eat chametz all the way to the end of the fifth hour, then you start to burn chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, whereas Rabbi Huda says you have to stop eating chametz by the end of the fourth hour, then you have to keep the chametz in suspense during the fifth hour, and then he agrees also that you burn it in the sixth hour. So the Gemara explains, Liabaya liba de Rabbi Meir de Amar in Adam Toa velo klum nechol kula shis ulahachlish nami de Amar Adam Toa mashihu nechol atzov shis. So the Gemara says that according to Abaya's version of Rabbi Meir that we spoke about yesterday, that people don't make any sort of errors, that there are no legitimate discrepancies whatsoever, so we should allow people to eat chametz all the way until the end of the sixth hour. And even if you believe that there's a slight discrepancy, in other words, that we allow a slight discrepancy of up to half an hour, so at least you should let people eat chametz all the way up until right before the end of the sixth hour. The Abaya liba de Rabbi Huda de Amar Adam Toa Chatzi Shah Nechol Ad Palgadishes Ulahach Lishnami de Amar Adam Toa Shah Umashu Nechol Ad Sofei. And even according to Abaya's version of Rabbi Huda, so again, if you think that the legitimate discrepancy is up to half an hour, so let people eat chametz up, in other words, up to halfway before the sixth hour, in other words, until 5.5 hours. And if you think that a legitimate discrepancy is up to an hour and a half, as we mentioned yesterday also, so then let them eat until the end of the fifth hour. In other words, the Gemara is basically asking the following question. In other words, where do these numbers come from? Stop eating chametz by the end of the fourth or the fifth hour. It seems like, based on everything that we've mentioned regarding legitimate margins of error, we should allow you to eat chametz until even longer, whether that's the end of the fifth hour, the middle of the sixth hour, the end of the sixth hour, depending on which sheet that you're following. There should be a little bit more leeway in terms of when the end time for eating chametz is. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Eidus Mesura Lizrizim, Chametz Lakom Basar. Abaye gives a very basic distinction. He says, the reason why all these very minute details regarding margins of error do not carry over to chametz is because chametz is something which applies to everyone. So since we assume, again, obviously before watches and clocks and things like that, most people were not necessarily so expert at exactly what time of day it was, so we want to really, really make sure that people know when to stop eating chametz. on the other hand, when it comes to testimony, when it comes to Edus regarding, what time of day did Reuven murder Shimon, so the assumption is that the Edim are very, very careful and very precise about the way in which they're going to formulate, all their testimony. So therefore, the Gemara says you can't draw a comparison between Edus and Chametz. And the Gemara continues, V'rava aliba de Rabbi Meir de Amar Adam Toet Shtei Shaus Chaser Mashu Mitchilas Helo Nechol. So the Gemara says again, based on Rava's version of Rabbi Meir that we spoke about yesterday,
Edus for his reason. You know, people are just, you're not elected to be an aide. You just happen to be an aide. You're in the same subset of the people that who are eligible not to eat cummings. Why do they make a distinction about people who are...
That's a good question, but, again, obviously you're right. In other words, a lot of Edus is just time and place. It's just where you happen to be. But the bottom line is that if you end up coming to... In other words, you don't necessarily... I mean, again, there is a mitzvah for a person who witnesses something to come to court and testify about it. That's true. But at the end of the day, it's almost like you feel more of an obligation when you come as a witness to remember things precisely. In other words, the stakes are much higher. Like, for example, if you're going to a murder case, so it really behooves you as a witness to remember all the details because, someone's life is on the line. Okay, so when it comes to Chametz and Erev Pesach, again, as bad as it is, it's only an or Durabana on Erev Pesach. So it's not the end of the world if you confuse the fourth hour, the fourth and a half, fifth hour. So I think, again, you're right. Obviously, it's the same subset of people, but I think at the end of the day, when you come as a witness, you realize that there's a much more significant onus on your shoulders that you need to be cognizant of. I think it's probably the distinction. Okay, so the Gemara continues. V'rava aliba de Rabbi Meir de Amar Adam Toesh Teshaus Chaser Mashu Mitchilas Helo Nechol. So again, the Gemara says, according to Rava's version of Rabbi Meir, that an acceptable margin of error is going to be just under 2 hours, so then you should already have to stop eating chametz at the beginning of the fifth hour. So again, the Gemara says no. The Gemara says, "Hey, chama b'mizrach v'zayin chama marv." Again, the same answer we keep on giving. That no, because on the fifth hour the sun is in the east, and by the seventh hour it's already in the west. So even though that's technically less than 2 hours, but it's not a legitimate discrepancy because the sun is in two different parts of the sky. So then the Gemara says, "But ihachi b'shis nami nechol." But then if that's the case, you should also be allowed to eat chametz until through the sixth hour. Why? Because in the sixth hour the sun is also still in the east, and you can't confuse that with the seventh hour. So the Gemara says, it's not really true. In the sixth hour, the sun is smack in the middle of the sky, and it's kind of hard to tell which direction the sun is leaning, and therefore you could theoretically confuse that with the seventh hour, and therefore you have to already stop eating chametz even before the sixth hour. Then the Gemara says, V'rava aliba de Rabbi Yehuda de Amar Adam Toa Gimel Shaus Chaser Mashu Mitchilas Da'al Lo Nechol. So then, according to Rava's version of Rabbi Yehuda, that an acceptable margin of error is just under 3 hours, so then we should already insist that you stop eating chametz already at the beginning of the fourth hour. Why does Rabbi Huda say you have to do it only at the end of the fourth hour, at the beginning of the fifth hour? So the Gemara says, again, the same answer. Hey, chama b'mizrach v'shem chava b'marav. So again, the same idea, because again, we said before that the fifth hour and the seventh hour are vastly different, because in the fifth hour, the sun is in the east, and in the seventh hour, it's already in the west. V'kol shekein dalet. And certainly in the fourth hour, certainly it's much easier to distinguish between the fourth and the seventh hour, because the sun is still very clearly in the east during the fourth hour. So then the Gemara says, ihachi. So if that's the case, then why don't we also allow you to eat chametz during the fifth hour? Why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that you have to stop eating chametz by the end of the fourth hour if it's obvious that there's a difference between the fifth and the seventh hour? So the Gemara says, you're right. Tirugama abaya liba derava edus mesurulis rizim chametz lakoma. So the same answer we gave earlier, that there's again a distinction between chametz and edus. When it comes to being a witness, so you're much more cognizant of what's going on. By chametz, it applies to the hamonam, to the majority of people. They're not necessarily going to be careful or cognizant of what time of day it is. Then the Gemara says, virava amar Lav hainu taima de Rabbi Huda, elo Rabbi Huda letame de Amar, ein bir chametz ala shreifa, viyohavu le rabbanan sha'achas lilkod ba'itzim. Comes Rava with a completely different answer. Rava says that everything we said before, up until now, according to Rabbi Huda, is incorrect. The reason why Rabbi Huda insists that you must stop eating chametz by the end of the fourth and does not give you all the way to the fifth, even though there's a clear discrepancy in the sun between the fifth and the seventh hour, it's not because there's this fundamental difference between Edos and chametz, but rather it's because this happens to be a very famous sheet of Rabbi Huda, which we'll talk more about in the beginning of the second parak, where Rabbi Huda happens to say, "Ein bir chametz ala shreifa." Rabbi Huda happens to hold that the only appropriate way in which to dispose of chametz is via burning it. Now, we know, typically, that's the way in which we dispose of chametz also, but the truth is that me'ikar adin, you don't really need to do that. Technically speaking, and in fact, for example, this year, it's going to be relevant. This year, Pesach is on a Motzei Shabbos, so obviously, we're not going to be burning chametz on Shabbos this year. So this year, we're going to rely on the ikar adin of the Rabbanan and just, flush it down the toilet or throw it away or whatever it is. But technically speaking, and like, for example, this past year, during Corona, so many Rabbanan said not to burn burn chametz, so many people just flushed it down the toilet, or some people, I don't know, did, you know, whatever, did some other stuff. So technically speaking, we, again, according to most Rishonim, probably follow the Rabbanan of what's called hashbasaso b'chol davar, that technically speaking, you can just dispose of chametz however you want. You don't need to technically burn it. But Rabbi Yehuda happens to disagree. Rabbi Yehuda himself happens to hold that you must dispose of chametz via burning. Again, whether we pass on that or not is somewhat of a debate in the second parak, but Rabbi Yehuda himself certainly holds that you have to do that. Now, again, the Gemara says, so then why does Rabbi Yehuda insist that you must stop eating chametz an hour before? Because Chazal wanted to give you that hour to go collect wood in order to light a fire to burn the chametz. Now, again, many Achorim point out that this Gemara may not necessarily be so literal. You don't have to literally go and actually collect wood to start a fire. If you just have a normal fire without wood, that may also be sufficient. But the point is that Rabbi Yehuda wanted to give you a little bit of leeway to go find some wood to start a fire, because he happens to hold that you must dispose of chametz via burning. So again, in other words, the only point Rav is making here is that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda insists that you must stop eating chametz by the end of the fourth as opposed to the fifth hour is not because of this fundamental distinction between eidos and chametz, but simply for a practical reason, because you have to go take that time to go find some wood to start a fire to dispose of the chametz. Billy, you have a question?
Rabbi, yeah. How would Rabbi Yehuda, maybe I'll wait till the second parak to ask the question or to give me the answer.
Okay.
How would he answer the question then of this year? Would he say you have to?
So obviously Friday, in a year like this, yes.
Not have any more chametz through Shabbos?
So obviously, in a year like this, Rabbi Yehuda himself would obviously have to agree, because you can't, burning chametz on Shabbos is an Isser Doraisa, so no one's going to sanction that, obviously. So yeah, and this is a Shas HaChak, so in this case, you don't have a choice, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But in a normal year, Rabbi Yehuda would tell you that of course you have to burn the chametz. Okay, so now the Gemara actually questions this a little bit, because we'll see that even within Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't necessarily always hold that you have to burn the chametz. So the Gemara says, Esive Ravina L'Rava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Emasai Shalom B'Shas B'Yuro, Avo B'Shas B'Yuro Hashbasasu B'Chol Davar. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who is so machmir, who insists that you must dispose of chametz via burning, he himself agrees that is only true in a case of what's called shelo b'shas b'yuro. Shelo b'shas b'yuro means it's still early in the morning on Erev Pesach. You still have plenty of time before the iser, the zman of owning chametz, you know, kicks in. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, then in that case you have to burn it. Let's say the zman iser is fast approaching. Let's say it's 10 minutes away, but you know, before the zman iser. So then Rabbi Yehuda himself also agrees that hashbasaso b'chol davar. Of course, you have to dispose of it anyway. You can, because you don't have time to pachka around to go find wood to light a fire if the Zman Isser of Chametz starts in 10 minutes from now. So the Gemara asks, how could we say that, the reason why we're giving you the extra hour, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is to go find wood to start a fire? Rabbi Yehuda himself agrees that you don't need to do that if time is running out. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amarava gzeira mishum yom ha-ma'una. The Gemara says, you're right. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda gives you that extra hour is not because of Eidos versus Chametz, it's not because we need time to go collect wood, but rather it's because we're afraid that it may be a cloudy day. And again, before the advent of clocks and watches, people may have been confused in terms of what hour of the day it was. So the Gemara then says, okay, Yahi, filu ba'arba shows nami lo nechel. If that's the case, then you should also not be allowed to eat chametz during the fourth hour either. So again, once again, the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Dalid Zman Sudala Kol. The Gemara says, no, the fourth hour is a time when everyone eats their meal. So everyone is like in tuned to when the fourth hour is. The fourth hour of the day is when the majority of people in the world eat their meals. So therefore, since everyone, normal people eat at the fourth hour of the day, the Gemara says people know intuitively when that is, and therefore there is no reason to impose any sort of gezerah for that time. And the Gemara actually explains this, Tana Rabbanan, Shah Rishona Machal Ludim, Shnia Machal Listin, Shlish is Machal Yorshin, Revius Machal Poalin, Chamish is Machal Tamide Chachamim, Shish is Machal Koladam, V'ha'amar of Papa Revius Mansudala Koli, Ela Epoch, Revius Machal Koladam, Chamish is Machal Poalim, Shish is Machal Tamide Chachamim, Mikan Ve'ilach Kizorik Evan Lachemes, Amar Abaylo, Amar Elgol Toimidi Bitsaf. So the Gemara basically says that different people would eat their meals at different times of the day. So the Ludin were these groups of cannibals who used to be very, very hungry, and they would always eat the first hour in the morning. Then the people who were the bandits, they would eat at the second hour of the day. Then the Gemara says that the third hour were the Yorshim, the people who were very wealthy because they inherited all their money. They didn't have to work. They were just, kind of sat at home all day with their feet up, so they would eat in the third hour of the day. Then the Gemara has somewhat of a back and forth regarding the fourth, fifth, and sixth hour. So initially, the Gemara thinks that the fourth hour is when the workers eat, the fifth hour is when Talmidei Chachamim eat, and the sixth hour is when everyone else eats. But the Gemara says that contradicts what we just said according to Rav Papa, because Rav Papa said everyone eats in the fourth hour. So the Gemara says, you're right. Really, it should be that the fourth hour is when everyone eats, the fifth hour is when the workers eat, and the sixth hour is when Talmidei Chachamim eat. And the Gemara says, if anyone eats after that point, if that's the first time you're eating after the sixth hour, so Abaye says that's just like you're being Zorik Evan Lachem. It's like you're throwing a rock into a flask, meaning to say that it's completely pointless and has no nutritional value to eat after that point. But the Gemara qualifies, that's only if you didn't eat any anything in the morning. So if you already, let's say you ate a little bit in the morning, and then you just waited to have your full meal till after the sixth hour, that's okay. That will still give you nutritional value. But if the first time you're eating anything is after the sixth hour, the Gemara says that is problematic, you know, in terms of nutritional value. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, k'machlokes be'edus kach machlokes b'chametz. So the Gemara says, just as we have a machlokes regarding all these different shitos in terms of margins of error and discrepancy when it comes to edus, so too we have the same issue, the same you know, machlokes when it comes to chametz. So the Gemara says, pshita, haynu hach damrin. That's what we've been talking about for the last 2 days. We've been comparing, you know, margins of error and discrepancies between edus and chametz. So what's the Gemara adding here exactly? So the Gemara says, no, ha kamash malan shinuya deshaninan shinuyahu velo tema tenaihi. The Gemara says, no, the chiddush of this line of the Gemara is to prove to you that all of the answers that we've given in the Gemara are all legitimate. They're not just these dochak forced, you know, answers that are you know, that don't fit in well with the pshat of the Gemara. These are legitimate answers where the Gemara is comparing and contrasting, you know, edus to chametz. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar of Simi Barashi, lo shanu ela b'shos, aval echad omer kodem hanitzachama, av echad omer acher hanitzachama, idusam betela. Again, this whole discussion we've been having regarding margins of error and discrepancy is only within different hours within the same day. So one guy says the murder happened at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, one guy says at 3 o'clock. So again, according to most shitas, we saw that would be legitimate. However, and again, we mentioned this example a little bit earlier. If, let's say, one guy says the murder happened before sunrise and one guy says after, that's not legitimate. That's for sure a problematic. So the Gemara says, Pshita, why would you think that, in other words, what's the Hava mean? Why would you think that's a valid testimony? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela echad omer kodem anitzachama, ve echad omer besocha anitzachama idusan betela. So rather, the case is where one guy says the murder happened prior to sunrise and one guy says it happened during sunrise. So the Gemara says, that's the case where the edus is invalid. So the Gemara says, anami Pshita. Again, why would I think that case is valid? So the Gemara says, no, because ma'u desema travayu chada milsa kamre, v'hadu ka'amar besocha netzachama begiluya avakai, v'ziarure ba'alma hu dechaza, kamash malam. The Gemara says, because one might have thought that maybe they're really both referring to the same time, it's just that the guy who says that the murder happened during sunrise, he was standing outside when the sun was coming up, and he sees like the rays of light, so he thinks it's already the daytime, but he was also referring to the same time of day as the first guy. So the Gemara says, one might have thought that edus is actually legitimate, so no, kamash malam, you see that even that edus, even one guy saying the murder happened before sunrise, and one guy saying that it happened during sunrise, that is also not considered a legitimate edus.